I was enjoying when Brother Randy sings a song, and it's always a good deal for me to point out that though there is a very, very big drought of new songs that are any good, that is one of them that really is very, very good. And so there are exceptions, and what a tremendous message, and I appreciate Brother Randy singing that tonight. It's good to have Brother Dan Knickerbocker here tonight, and they're going to be here in a couple of months, I think, with the trio. And so Brother Dan will get to talk there. We'll let his brother speak tonight. But I do want to, Brother Dan is over the Crown Southwest that we support, and also the Texoma Baptist Youth Camp, which we support. And we did send him a little money for help with the pool. They are a big project. If y'all remember last summer at our men's and boys retreat, we spent a little time digging around the pool. Yeah, that was two summers ago. That's right. And so this summer they're fixing it. So y'all pray for them. I know they're still trying to raise money to get that done. And boy, you're just a few weeks off, aren't you, from starting a camp? 5 weeks? 5 weeks. So y'all pray for Texoma Baptist Youth Camp. And how many did you have saved last summer? 90 saved and 52 surrendered to full-time ministry. So let's pray for the camp. That's where our juniors go. Our juniors go the week of the 4th of July. And so I know my boys really enjoyed that, so they'll all be headed back. We took a good group last year. We'll ought to take a bigger group this year. And just appreciate Brother Dan and his wife and what they do. And thank a lot of you, Brother Dan. Appreciate you. And because I know Brother Dan, I'm glad to meet his brother. And Brother Pete, would you come? And Brother Knickerbocker, would you come and present? Amen.
I'm going to say anything about my brother tonight.
Other than the fact that I'm thankful to have brothers that love the Lord. Everybody doesn't have that privilege. But everybody should be able to have that privilege. I have a few pictures that I want to show you, and I want to present to you, first of all, my family. But let me tell you, I am saved. I was born in a country preacher's home, and I got saved in a country church. And God took me from that country church where I'd never dreamed to go. And I thank the Lord for the way He's used the gifts that I've offered to Him. He's given me them, and I offered them back to Him. And the Lord took me to France when I was 17. I went to visit my brother there, my oldest brother there. And the Lord burdened my heart when I heard that the French claimed to be Christians having never read the Bible. I thought that was a misnomer. And so for 25 years now, my wife and I have been trying to give people the Bible. And we have a project that I want to talk to you about in just a minute. And I thank the Lord for the privilege of seeing the power of the Word of God work in the lives of people that have never heard. And that's exciting. You know, in America, a lot of times, it's getting less and less this way, but we're evangelizing the evangelized. But in France, we are evangelizing people who have never heard and never seen a Bible, never met a true Christian. And that definitely is different. But I thank the Lord for the privilege it is to serve the Lord in France. So you have here on the first picture my wife and my two youngest sons. My two oldest sons have already left the home for the service of the Lord. Stephen is going to Burkina Faso with his wife. And then the second boy is youth pastor in Delaware. And these two last boys here on the left, Jeremy and Mark, they're holding down the fort while I'm gone. Jeremy spoke the last two Sundays for me, and Mark led the service for the first time. It might not be intimidating when there's only 15 people, but it's intimidating for a young 17-year-old boy. And I thank the Lord for them. My wife was saved through a ministry of a missionary. A missionary came into her town and started a Bible club in her home, in her apartment, and invited my wife to come. She was saved when she was 12. And we met at the Bible Institute in Paris, and we were married in 1985. So we've been working now in Orleans since 2007. And we'd like to thank you for your faithful prayers. Some of you have been praying for us. And others will pray for us, I'm sure. And we want to thank you for your future support. If the Lord leads in that direction, you give that the missionary may live. We go that they may know, and you must pray that we may stay and see the work of God progress. This passage is taken in Ephesians, and I want to remind you of the last part of the verse that says that in the ages to come He might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I call that God's showcase of grace. If you've been saved tonight by the Spirit of God, you are in God's showcase of grace. So in the ages to come, He might be able to point to you and say, look what my grace did in this man, in this lady's life. And God is doing that in France. And we want to show you some of the faces of some of the people that God has put in His showcase of grace. This couple here, I met her on the street doing a survey. We have a 11-question survey that we find out what they believe and what they don't believe, and it leads us into the presentation of the gospel. We've done over 1,000 surveys like that with people. And I met her, first of all, and she said, oh, you've got to meet my husband. He's scared to death to die. And so the Lord led us to go and knock on their door, and she gave me her address and phone number, and they started a Bible study. We started a Bible study in their home, and about 6 months into that, she said, I trusted the Lord in my bedroom last night, and she was baptized about 3 months later. And then John, her husband, he was very depressive and grew up in an orphanage, was abused. Both of them were abused as children, and God saved him when my brother was through. He led him to the Lord, and they have had a life-transforming effect. The Spirit of God has had a life-transforming effect in their lives. We've had since 2007, only four baptized. But you've heard the saying, we four and no more. Well, we don't want that. We want a whole lot more to come along. But I'd rather see a few baptized and see them stick than to see a whole host of people baptized and not see them stick. But when you're starting from scratch, that means you're starting with nobody. And that's how we started, just contacting people, witnessing the people, and leading them to the Lord. So Francoise et Jean, our first two baptized, and then Cedric. I also have an outreach in the basketball team. I like to play basketball, and I try to use it to get my foot in the door spiritually in the lives of people. And this young man came to me one day, and he said, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. He said, well, I believe in God. I said, what's the basis of your belief? What is the foundation of your belief in God? He says, I don't have one. I just believe there's a God. And so we started Bible studies with him. He started coming to church. And just last October, he was baptized with our son Mark at 17. And we thank the Lord for these four that were baptized. Philip Caillou was a man who was had already received literature from us in his mailbox, and we just distributed recently another distribution in his mailbox, and he called us. He said, the last one I lost, but this one I'm saving preciously. You need to come and visit me. And we went and visited him. He said, there's a wall in front of me. I don't know about my future. I have MS. My health is diminishing. I've got a host of problems in my life, and I can't see what my future holds, but I need some type of spiritual help. Can you help me? And so we presented him the gospel that day, and he took a Bible and began reading it. And about 2 months ago, he said, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. And the Lord has transformed his life. He said, now there's something in me that I didn't have before. He said, it's like a battle taking place in my life. And I know that when I do right, it's good. And when I do wrong, it's bad. And so the Lord is really working in his life. You pray for him. He needs to progress with the Lord. He needs to ask for a baptism. He needs to confess publicly. We always ask people to confess publicly that they trusted the Lord. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And so we want him to do that. We're encouraging in that way. Paul and Mary came to us this last summer. They're both out of a really heavy background. They were both abandoned by their families. They were drug addicts, and they met in a rehabilitation home, and they started living together. They had little Michelle, and he started coming last summer, and the Lord began to transform his life. And after the baptismal service, I went to see him in their home and asked them, told them about salvation. And he said, I don't believe I've ever asked the Lord to save me. And she said, I don't believe I have either. I said, well, you could do that whenever you want to. You could do it now if you'd like to. And he said, oh, I want to do that. And so he prayed, and then she followed right along and trusted the Lord as their Savior. And they are wanting to be baptized as well. So we're thankful for what God is doing in their life. Philip Roche here. This is a man who I knew his mother and stepfather in a previous ministry. And I got in contact with them. He claimed to be atheist. A lot of French say that for a lack of other words. And we started just recently. He had some difficulties in his family. And he contacted me again. And we started having a Bible study together. He said, I want to know what the Bible says so I'll know why I'm an atheist. And so as we studied the Bible, he figured out that he wasn't all that atheistic after all. And he said, I'm on the road to faith, he said, and it's interesting to see how I'm understanding what the Bible has to say. It's easy to call yourself an atheist without ever reading the Bible, he said, but read the Bible first and then tell yourself that you're the atheist. He said, I want to know why I'm an atheist or why I'm not an atheist. And just recently he told me, I know why my wife left me now. He said it was God himself giving me a big slap upside the head to help me realize what's really true and what's really right. And to make a long story short, he called me the other day through email and told me that he and his wife are back together. And so God is doing a great work in his life and his two children's life as well. And then this couple's come to us since Christmas time. Pierre is a Frenchman and Nicole is an African from Cameroon. And they are approaching our church. She is a daughter of a pastor who got saved later in life. I don't know if she's made a profession of faith. She hasn't made a profession of faith with us. There's some things that are unclear, but she's not baptized by immersion. And we're praying that the God will do a work in her heart. We have her parents that are praying for them, and that's encouraging. And Grandma is praying that little Thibault here will become a preacher. Emily is our co-worker, and we thank the Lord for her. That was okay. You're doing good. And I think that's pretty much it. Our last project that we're trying to do, on the back table we have a Gospel of John and Romans. We want to put that in every home, in every city of the suburbs of Orleans. That's 22 cities and villages. Victor Hugo was a great man, Frenchman of past times. He wasn't a Christian, but he did say that a gospel should be sown in every village and every home should have a Bible. And that was his request back in the 18th century. So we pulled that out of the history books and put that on a little piece of paper that we scotch taped to the front of that gospel and put it in the mailboxes. We've already done 6,000 homes and 6 villages, and we only have several thousand more to do, like 80,000 more to do. And so you pray with us in that God's word as it goes out will find well-plowed ground of the heart, and that it'll bear fruit in eternity. And I believe we have several of the people of the church have come to help put scotch tape those things on the Gospels. And we had different people come to help us. Michelle from Chicago and then Timothy from Paris. And I believe that will stop right there with the presentation. So I thank the Lord for what God is doing. I think it was William Carey that said, God is always advancing. And I want to advance with him, don't you? I appreciated what was written on your sign as I drove in, and then on your bulletin, stand firm in the faith. I believe the Lord's given me a message to go along with that. And I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Gospel according to Luke and chapter 18. We'll read the first 8 verses of this chapter, and then we'll give you 3 inspired points and trust the Lord to do a work in our hearts. Would you like to stand for the reading of God's word, please? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I'm going to insist on certain words, and you might bear with me through that. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a certain city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. We could rephrase that by saying, did you hear what the unjust judge said? And shall not God, verse 7, avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we have to assemble ourselves in this fashion. And we pray that you would take your word tonight and apply it to our hearts. We're counting on the work of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. And as I look out and see this crowd of people gathered together, I know that each one of us have something that we're dealing with. Something that is beyond us. Something that is difficult. Something that is most difficult. And Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, speak to our hearts. Challenge us to keep the faith that was once delivered, and have faith when we pray, knowing to whom we pray. Dear God, do your office work in each one of our hearts, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a passage of Scripture that really gripped my heart, and when I read this first 8 verses, I stop at that last question. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, we have specialists that look out in the world and in the state of affairs, the state of the union, and they say faith is diminishing. People are abandoning the faith. And it is true. There's a lot of people that used to go to church who do not go to church anymore. And in that regard, many people have abandoned the faith. Did they abandon the faith, the true faith, or did they abandon a practice of a certain faith? That remains to be seen. But I don't believe that's what he's talking about here in this passage. I don't believe he's talking about the Christian faith that was delivered to the saints. I ask myself the question, will the Lord find faith in my heart when he comes? It's not about Joe and Mary. It's about Pete. And Isabel, that's my wife. The old Negro spiritual reminds us, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, I'd like to take care of all my neighbors and make sure they're doing the right thing. But I have no control about what they do. I have control about what I do. And you have control about what you do. And that's where we need to start. We must be concerned, beloved, with what the Lord will find in our hearts when He comes. What will He find in our hearts? When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? And my question is to you, will He find faith in your heart? Will He find faith in your heart? From the context, we clearly understand that the faith we're talking about is faith in prayer. Faith in prayer. In verse 1, he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, if my dad was here and would read that, he would say, men ought always to pray, boys too. Ladies too. Children too. Grandmothers too. Grandfathers. Men, mankind ought always to pray and not to faint. He sets the stage for what he's about to say. And then in verse 10, he says, two men went up to the temple to pray. So we understand that he's talking about prayer here in this passage of Scripture. And I want to exhort myself to stimulate our faith in prayer. It's so easy to quit praying. It's the first thing we do when we start to abandon the faith that was once delivered to the saints. When we cease to pray in faith, We continue to pray without faith, and then we abandon the prayer meeting and the services and the Bible reading and so forth and so on. We stimulate our prayer life by developing three important qualities in our prayer time. Number one, if we're going to pray in faith, we need to insist in prayer. Insist in prayer. This is an important theme throughout the Bible. Think of Abraham, how he insisted that God not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He said, Lord, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Suppose there's 50 righteous in Sodom. You can't destroy 50 righteous with all these unrighteous people. And the Lord said, surely I will not if there's 50. And he went down to 45 and down to 40, down to 30, 35, 35, 30, 25, 20. Let's go in the right direction, right? Down to 5, 10. Abraham got what he wanted. Lot was delivered. I think of Jacob, how he insisted in prayer. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he asked him his name. He said, why do you ask me my name? You need to let me go. I need to go. The sun's coming up. I need to leave. And he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. You ever have someone grab you in a bear hug? I have four older brothers. They like to pick on the baby. They know they can get the baby. I have a brother just between Dan and I, and he said, Pete, I can do everything that you can do, but better. I said, enjoy it, because when you're 90 and I'm 89, I'm going to take you down. I think of Hannah. Precious Hannah. Her soul was vexed to the utmost degree. Here she was, a worthless woman. She couldn't have children. And she said, oh God, I want a child. Oh God, I want a man child. If you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. And she prayed earnestly. And she insisted earnestly. And God gave her a man child, Samuel. Not only Samuel, but she had more children after that. Samuel was a prophet of God. She insisted in prayer. This is an exhortation throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul oftentimes referred to it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Timothy 2:8, I would therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Did you notice how closely related are the words thankfulness with prayer? You take a Christian that is unthankful, you could almost be assured of the fact that they're not praying. How about me when I'm unthankful? What's my prayer life all about? You see, you cannot pray aright until you acknowledge who you are and who God is. And when you acknowledge who you are and who God is, you have to be thankful. Why would He love me? Since He loved me, I'm thankful for that love. And I want to give my life to Him. A key to a successful prayer is a prayer that insists in humility. You have the example of these two men who went up to the temple to pray. The first a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee, he stood up and he was really proud of the way he could speak. Dear God in heaven, thank you because I'm such a wonderful person. And on he went, glorifying his own person. The other guy over there in the corner, he was beating upon his breast saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. I like to hear public prayers. I think we ought to pray publicly. One good rule of thumb is short prayers in public, long prayers in private. Amen? That's what the publican was all about. The unjust just said, because this woman troubleth me, I don't fear God, I don't regard man, but because she troubleth me, she wearies me, I'll give her what she requests. And the Lord, shall he not avenge his own elect, which cry day and night? A dear lady came to the evangelist after the service one time and said, I would like for you to pray for my son. He's a wayward son. The evangelist said, I will not pray for your son who is wayward. What do you mean? You're the man of God. You're the evangelist that we have come into our church. You're a man of prayer. I believe in your prayers. Won't you pray for my son? He said, I'll not pray for your son. Not until I hear a brokenness in your voice. Not until I see a tear in your eye. Then I will pray for your son. That is exactly what that precious woman needed from God Almighty to grip her in her heart. And she went home, went into her bedroom, knelt down beside her bed and commenced to pray. To really pray. To insist. And on in the night she prayed, oh God, deliver my son from his life, his waywardness. Save his soul. Oh God, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Oh God, save my dear son. And in the wee hours of the morning, here comes the son. Hearing something going on in the back room, he went to hear and listened at the door, and he heard his name being called in prayer. He opened the door, went over and knelt down beside his mother. He said, oh, Mom, I didn't think you cared. How many wayward children today don't think Mom and Dad care? May God deliver us from a non-caring and apathetic heart. We need to insist in prayer. Luke 11 verse 9 says, ask and ye shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And the idea is, ask and keep asking until it's given to you. Seek and keep seeking until it's open unto you. Knock and keep knocking until you find, or seek until you find, and knock until it's open. Just keep on doing it. Keep on keeping on, like we say. We have a dear couple that we mentioned. Their son is 33 years old. And they say, Brother Knickerbocker, you've got four boys. They all know the Lord. They all love the Lord. They all want to serve the Lord. They're all going to be in heaven with you when this life is over. We have one son, and he's lost. And if he dies without God, he's going to a burning hell. We can't live like this. And every time they bow their head in prayer before their meal, every time they lift up their prayer in church before God, they say, God, save our son, save our son, save our son. They're insisting in prayer. And you know what? God's going to save their son. Amen. And I'm expecting it. That's my second point. Amen. Go to the first quality is to stimulate your prayer life, is to insist in prayer. The second quality is to expect in prayer. Amen. You know, we can expect an answer because of who God is. You know why we don't expect from God? Because we have a little view of God. And a lot of times, we preachers promote this little puny view of God. You know how we do it? By saying, God told me this. God told me that. God wants me to do this. And it changes from day unto day. I've seen it. The preacher boys come to the altar and God calls them to Jamaica. The next missions conference, God calls them to Africa. The next missions conference, God calls them to Europe. And the next missions conference, they're going to go out and get a job and make a living. Is God confused? No. God is above it all. and He works. And it's so much easier to discover God's will than to find it. Everything God wants us to know is right here. And when we do it, He guides us in the way of truth. And may God help us to expect from a big God because of His love for us. For God so loved the world. You know the verse. So loved, He stretched out His arms in love to die. And God is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness. He's not willing that any should perish. You can pray without any doubt that God wants to save your lost loved ones. Pray for them. God wants to save them more than you. I believe God wants to bless us more than we even want God's blessing. And we don't expect it. How many times have I prayed and said, okay, I'm forgetting that. You're not working, Lord. Don't see any evidence of your working. Where's faith come in? Faith comes in when we don't have to see anything to believe God's working. I never saw God. I never saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe in Him. And now I can believe that He can intervene in my life and do what He desires to do. We can believe because of what He did for us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Amen. He wants to give us freely all things, but He wants us to expect them from Him. And then because of our helper, oh, we have the precious Holy Spirit who is our helper in prayer. Amen. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, and sometimes we pray ignorantly. But if we're insisting and anticipating, the Holy Spirit who lives within us is going to guide us in our prayer. Amen. Conform it to what His will is. And then we also have an advocate. Amen. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon. Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. The Lord Jesus is our advocate. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Can we anticipate justly His answers? You better believe we can. Anticipate them. Insist in prayer. And then lastly, receive your answers. Receive them. How do we receive them? By asking for the right, I like this word, stuff. Ask for the right stuff. Ask for the right things. We know that God doesn't necessarily want us to have a Jaguar to drive to church in. What's with that? Ford will do. Amen. Henry, he'd be happy about that. I'm a missionary. The Bible says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. I want souls to be saved. I want a great, thriving church to be established in Orleans. Is there anything wrong with that? It is if I want to consume it on my own lust. You want that so you can be a successful missionary, and the churches will talk about their successful missionary that has done the unbelievable. Come on. As my son, my 22-year-old son would say, come on, Dad, get a life. And I respond to him, get a wife. That way you'll move out because you're not living with a woman here. Yeah. We ask amiss. Oh, so many times we ask amiss. We want our children to walk the straight and narrow so that when we take them to church, the brethren and sisters will stand around and say, man, those children walk the straight and narrow. You must be happy. Come on, that gives glory to man, not God. I'm talking about these things because I've lived through them. Make the right request. Luke chapter 11. Verse 13, in that same passage where it says, knock, seek, and ask, he says this, verse 13, If ye then, being evil, we can just go ahead and say amen there. If ye being evil, if me being evil, I know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more? How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, we're not talking about the indwelling of the Spirit that we all received the day we were saved. He lives within us. He's made His abode within us. He has made of our bodies His temple. We're not talking about the indwelling. We're talking about the filling of the Spirit that we all should have. As much as we are not to be drunk with wine, where is an excess, we are to be filled with the Spirit. And we're to ask for that. He wants to give it to us. We should insist on it. We should anticipate it. It is His will. He wants us to receive it. We like to make ice cream, and some dear friends that I'm going to be meeting tomorrow sent us an ice cream maker. It's one of those old wooden barrels. And we set it up for the winter. We don't do that in the winter. We don't do ice cream in the winter. We put that up there in the garage and it dries out. We take it down in the spring or the summer and we want to make ice cream with it. But I always do this. The night before we're going to make ice cream, I fill it up with water. And it leaks like a sieve. That first bucket fills up and that thing just goes right out of the sides like you wouldn't believe. Then I fill it up again and it goes out still but less. And then I fill it up again and it goes out until it doesn't leave the bucket. And then I know it's sealed. Dad used to say, you know why we need to be filled constantly with the Spirit? Because we leak. Just like that bucket, leak water. The Holy Spirit wants all of us. He is in us, but He doesn't have all of us. You want a proof of that? Ask your wife. Honey, do you think today that the Holy Spirit had all of me? And honey, what do you think about me? Do you think the Holy Spirit had all of me today? We're leaking, aren't we? May God help us to quit leaking and be filled. I ask you, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith in your heart? Shall He find faith in your prayer? What is it today that you have in your heart that you want from God? Something that you know is in God's will, that you're willing to say, oh God, with Your help, with Your enablement, I am going to insist that You answer this prayer. Not only am I going to insist, but I am going to anticipate the answer because it's in Your will. Shall we pray?